You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and James Millman with you to look ahead to the best of Monday's racing. Action at Brighton, Wolverhampton, Stratford and Listowel to look forward to on Monday. As I mentioned, I'm Alex Dunn and this man is James Millman. Hello, James.
How are you?
I'm good.
How are you? Yeah, not too bad.
Good. We've been treated, haven't we, in the last week or so with some incredible racing. We're recording this prior to Sunday, where there's some great Sunday action at the Curragh and at Longchamp. Obviously, Saturday, we had one of the best Saturdays that we've had in a long time, racing-wise.
Yep.
Monday's a bit of a step down, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, it's a typical autumnal Monday card, to be honest. Lots of runners.
Yeah, that is the positive, isn't
busy
it?
Busy in that respect. Mm. But Brighton in particular, a lot of low-grade animals in action, which generally that's what Brighton provides, but with a bit of rain around, the ground's not too bad. It's good at the moment, so we've actually got quite a few double-figure fields, which will keep the punters happy. And Wolverhampton, a little bit higher grade there. We've got a nice class, free handicap to have a look at.
Yeah, we'll get to that shortly. We'll just have a quick look back at yesterday's action. We won't go into too much detail. We'll leave that to Mark and Stephen tomorrow with the Monday jury. But we'll start with the ledger.
Well, why would you want to start there? Anything interesting happen there, Alex?
Because a simple verse was first past the post, but not awarded the race. Bondi Beach got the race in the stewards' room thanks to some persuasive arguing, shall we say, from Colmore Donoghue. Firstly, James, do you think it's the right decision to overturn the race? No.
Not according to the rules that are interpreted day in, day out in British racing.
Okay.
I think that ultimately the best horse won, simple verse. I think it's impossible to argue that Bondi Beach should have won. I think there was a little bit of 50-50 interference as well. I would say probably 2 furlong out, Andrea did make room for a gap, a fair way out. And the small filly managed to extricate herself from a very, very narrow gap. And Colmore Donoghue was doing his best to keep him in mind. And throughout the final furlong, there were bumps, but I wouldn't say Andrea was exactly the complete one in the wrong. I think there was a little bit of 50-50 bumping going on. Yes, there was only a head in it, but for me, simple verse was always going to win. I don't think Bondi Beach was ever going to get past. And for me, I think you need to ensure that the best horse perhaps wins the race. And I think most people would say that on the day, simple verse was the best horse. And I think you mentioned about the stewards' inquiry. I think Colmore Donoghue was the one that was much more persuasive.
Have you seen it?
In this case, I haven't seen it because I was in here yesterday, but I've read the transcript of the racing post and what the jockeys have said. And knowing Andrea as well, Andrea's obviously Italian. English is not his first language. And when he first came over here, he didn't speak hardly any word of any English. And while he'll obviously understand it and speaks well, trying to get him to put his point across, some quite difficult terms in a shoes inquiry just after you've won the biggest race of your career. Obviously you won it last year with Kingston Hill, but a big win for his new boss, Qatar Racing. For me, I don't think jockeys should be even asked an opinion in the stewards' inquiry, because ultimately both jockeys...
It's the same template every time, isn't it?
Yeah, they're both going to say,
you'll get one saying,
race.
I was going to win if he hadn't have bumped me, and the other one saying, even though I bumped him, I was going to win anyway. So you may as well just... Every stewards' inquiry, in theory, is exactly the same.
Definitely. And ultimately, like Colmore Donoghue, even if deep down he knows that he was on the second best horse, he is going to argue his point across. And in the stewards' room, you've got 4 or 5 cameras, different angles that you can look at. Ultimately, the jockey's only got one head-on view anyway, so they can't see what's going on around them. And ultimately, I think it's a little bit wrong. I would imagine Colmore Donoghue, from his years of experience, especially in Ireland and similar inquiries, and perhaps Aidan O'Brien learnt maybe Joseph could have been a little bit more aggressive maybe in the inquiry when Wondai Beach didn't get the race in the Great Voltage Show, which for me was far worse interference with Pat Cosgrove actually taking Wondai Beach all the way across the track. Yes, the winning margin was a lot more, but momentum-wise, etc., Bondi Beach perhaps lost a lot more. In that instance, I would have been less surprised if Bondi Beach had been awarded the Great Voltage Show, and he wasn't.
You mentioned the bump two furlongs out when, I think the phrase you used was made room for herself.
Yeah.
That happens day in, day out. A lot of times, doesn't it? In everyday racing, you get horses that are trapped on the rail, travelling well. They have to get out at some point, and you see a bit of a barging match sometimes. Why does nothing happen there?
Because it's just status quo, and generally horses very rarely get disqualified in British racing. And I think it was the wrong decision was made. I think when it goes to appeal, Qatar Racing are obviously going to employ some very good legal representatives.
Yourself?
Well, they could well do.
Very good, though.
But I'd be excellent if I was representing them. But I'm sure they're going to bring past cases whereas these horses have not been disqualified for perhaps causing a lot more stronger interference. I mean, Susie's Connoisseur, one of the Sheikh Fahd's horses, got really badly interfered with at Ascot and never got the race. I was very surprised that the result was reversed, and I feel very, very sorry for Connections, very sorry for Andrea. And like I say, the best horse won for me, and I think it will be overturned at appeal, which then doesn't suit anyone. Everyone, like,
no.
Luckily, William Hill, we paid first past the post and on the amended results. The punters haven't lost out there, but a lot of people won't have that option. Obviously, the majority probably backed Bondi Beach anyway, so they're going to be happy. But for those that back Simple Versus, leave a bit of a sour taste in the mouth.
It does. And then just a few hours later, in the Irish Champion Stakes, we saw what many were billing as, you know, race of the year, race of the decade even. It was a fantastic lineup. And Golden Horn, bustled up at the start by Frankie, sought to make all, did in the end make all, but jinked badly right
definitely
a furlong out, and arguably hampered Free Eagle more than any interference there was in the ledger.
Yep, definitely.
Yet kept the race.
Well, the problem there was the fact that Free Eagle obviously came third and found the runner-up had a nice clear run through. She was third best horse in the day. And if he went by American or French rules, Golden Horn automatically thrown out, gone, and found promoted to be a winner. For me, again, that doesn't work because you're giving a Irish Champion Stakes to a filly that was third best in the day and found. And like I say, if Free Eagle would come second, beaten half a length, I think the stewards would have quite easily reversed the form. In that respect, actually, Frankie did nothing wrong. It was the horse that...
Do you think he saw something?
They reckon it was a shadow on the grandstand, maybe a furlong marker. He spooked at something anyway.
Because it wasn't just hanging, was it?
Oh, no, it was a violent right manoeuvre, not a gradual.
A jink.
Nothing Frankie could do to avoid it. So wouldn't there a riding ban, or he didn't do it deliberately to wipe out the opposition, which what people are arguing about now is that the jockeys are quite happy to cause a little bit of interference because they know that they're not going to get disqualified and...
You'll take a three-day ban if it means that you're collecting hundreds of thousands
especially
of pounds.
Especially a Classics 360,000, I think it was, for the St. Ledger. But yeah, it's a tricky one because Free Eagle was knocked sideways. It was a fair way out as well, but he lost all momentum. Patsman, again, has come in and said, look, it's cost him a lot of ground. So
I think had he not done that, would have been interesting to see.
It would have been very, very close.
Yeah.
Would Golden Horn have found more, would what Frankie
maybe
would say.
Because he did win snugly in the end, didn't he?
Yeah, he won quite cosily, but I think...
But having winded his main rival...
Basically, a punch in the stomach, and he couldn't quicken. So, for me, the right decision was made. Like, people were quite... Obviously, after St. Ledger were saying that Golden Horn could be chucked out, and I was really thinking, well, if Free Eagle coming third, I just couldn't see it happening. So yeah, it's been a tough weekend. But going back to the St. Ledger, obviously Commodonna, who picked up a 2-day whip ban as well. So he's broken the rules. And I'll say we were going to have a situation where horses that break the whip rules to get disqualified. So you could have had a promote Bondi Beach and then disqualify him anyway for the jockey breaking the rules. So it's a very, very tricky situation at the moment, the way we've got our rules and stuff in racing. I think the stewards' inquiry certainly provide entertainment for Channel 4 viewers, whether it was fair...
Not Rafe Beckett,
...to
though.
See, Rafe Beckett, Andrea Rizzani, basically in despair. Great for Andrea to go out and ride the next winner, because obviously to have that race taken off you. To go back out half an hour later, you are not in a very good frame of mind.
No.
That was great. It was a 50-mile handicap. It's no real consolation, but a mark of Andrea's character that he managed to get that one home. But this will run and run for a fair while. Obviously, they're definitely appealing, Qatar racing. And for me, I hope it gets reversed.
Okay. Just quickly going back to that race. Had Free Eagle not been there, had he been tucked in on the rail, say, when Golden Horn spooked or whatever, there's every chance that Golden Horn would have just kept going to the right, or, you know, could have unseated Frankie maybe. Or, he's actually quite lucky that Free Eagle was there.
Kept him straight.
Yeah.
As such, and he lost a little bit of ground. Obviously, Golden Horn's lost a bit of momentum as well.
But without Free Eagle there, he could have...
Definitely.
Anything could have... And Found could have got a lovely seam through and...
It's interesting. We still don't know who's the best horse from that race.
No. Which is a shame, I think. Both races, having been built up so much, the Ledger wasn't a vintage renewal, but it was still a Ledger.
And yeah, so it wasn't a vintage renewal yet. We had some quite decent horses in the first three for me. Solid 115, 116 horses.
Mm-hmm.
Simple versatile. She's come from a long way. She only supplemented for the race on the Monday. But the other two, Great Vulture form, Bondi Beach, Storm of the Stars, didn't seem to stay out the trip or the long season. One or the other caught up with him.
I just think it's a pity that you've got almost unsatisfactory results for both.
For both of them. I wouldn't disagree with you there. But like I say, I think we still don't know who actually won the St. Ledger. Obviously, they're going to appeal in a few days' time. But I would seriously hope it gets reversed.
Okay. Right then, we'll move on to Monday's racing, where hopefully there's a little bit less incident. Fingers crossed, anyway.
Well, it is around Brighton. That's kind of banger racing, to be honest.
I was going to say, if we were going to look for a track where there's likely to be a bit of bumping, Brighton is that, with its undulations and tricky nature. We'll start at Brighton with the 4:30, a handicap over almost 7 furlongs. 13 runners don't go to post for this one, James. Plenty of consistent types, but not many that like to poke their head in front all that often.
Yeah, you're giving me a lovely, easy race to preview here, Alex, because, like you say, most of these are actually in pretty good form, to be honest. Very few of them are actually winning, but generally they're placed on most opportunities. We have got one last night winner in Alactios, who won the weather at Kempton for Gary Moore. He's become well handicapped, because initially when he went handicapping for Luca Cremani, he started off 81 after winning his Haydock Maiden back in June last year. Generally, it's been a little bit downhill since he joined the Gary Moore stable. He's dropped from 79 to 62 when winning last time. He's got a £6 penalty, but he's still arguably well treated on that mark. Question mark will be the track. It's his first run around Brighton. But he could be in form, and he could be the class horse in the race there, Alactios, under Fergus Sweeney. All the others that are consistent, you know, we're going to get fairly missed. John Bridges' team are in excellent form at the moment, and this one goes well at Brighton. The last three starts at the track have been third, second, second, and generally competitive. Office mark of 52, very versatile as regards the trip, 1/6 furlongs and a mile, so the 7 furlongs in between won't be a problem in what's a very competitive race. I wouldn't be surprised if Alactios gets the job done, but I think there's a few question marks against him. The other Gary Moore runner, Good Luck Charm, is a course and distance winner in the past, and there's one at Goodwood as well. This one's another one that's dropped in the handicap. Was originally rated as high as 83, now off 65, which makes him eligible for a 0-65 for the first time at a Class 6 contest. And while he's been out of form, George Baker is booked, and that could be a key booking there for Good Luck Charm. So Gary Moore's got a strong hand in the race, but I'm going to stick with Fairy Mist for John Bridger.
Okay, Fairy Mist the pick then in Brighton's 4:30. The 5:30 from Brighton is next up over the extended 5 furlong trip. We've got 10 runners down to go to post. In fact, make that 9. Electric Qatar is already a non-runner for this one. Once again, James, plenty of consistent types, but what wins this?
Yeah, we've got a lot of course specialists. Obviously, Brighton is very, very unique, so you do need to keep an eye on those with course form. But to be honest, 5 of the 9 runners have actually won over course and distance, so that doesn't really help matters too much. John Gallagher's team are in really, really good form, and Ada Lovelace has been having a good season. Last two starts at track was a win back in June off 64, and in second off this mark of 70. Only beaten half a length when fourth last time at Chelmsford City, so that was a good effort. And Ada Lovelace remains in very, very good form. So I think she's the one most likely to continue John Gallagher's good run under the £3 claimer, Michael Murphy. Of the others, Fairer Jake, and we said John Bridger, we've gone for his horse in the earlier race. He's in reasonably good form, and he's got plenty of form at Brighton as well. Germany runs at the Southern Tracks, won 9 races, goes well at Brighton, and he's off a mark he can win off 60. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Fairer Jake run a good race at a price. Of the others, Perfect Pastime, Jim Boyle's runner, a little bit disappointing last time, but earlier one at Lingfield off a mark of 60. Very consistent generally, but does like a little bit more given the ground perhaps, although has one at Brighton on good ground. He could be there or thereabouts. Electric Sunrise, another course in the distance winner. Another one that you give a chance to, but ultimately in a very, very competitive little sprint, I'm going to stick with John Gallagher's Ada Lovelace.
Okay, Ada Lovelace, the pick in Brighton's 5:30. We'll move to Wolverhampton then for 2 races on the Tapita there. We'll go back in time. The 440 from Wolves is the first one that we're going to look at the track. Over the extended mile trip, we've got 8 runners down to go to post. They go without God willing here, but it still leaves 8 pretty nice horses here, James. It's a really good race, this.
Yeah, definitely. The one that's interesting for me is Hacker for Sir Michael Stout and Sheikh Khalid Abdullah. Only 4 starts. 3 have been on artificial surfaces. Slightly disappointing on the turf when only 3rd at York, but that was at York in a pretty competitive contest. And Hacker won a nice race at Chelmsford City last time out, beating Matrad. It was a really nice horse from the Willie Hagger stable. Matrad was perhaps a little bit unlucky, didn't get much of a clear run, but he's thought of being as a very, very good group horse, is Matrad. So the fact that Hacker was able to beat him, I think, is a really, really big positive. Hacker's lightly raced, only going up £6 for that win, has won here at Wolverhampton over course and distance, which I think is always key, and I think could be a very, very nice horse. And the fact there's only 8 runners does mean that there's not likely to be too much hard luck stories. When you get the full 13 around Wolverhampton, it can get a little bit tight, but 8 does make life a little bit easier. Heisman for Ollie Stevens and Ocean Murphy is one that looked quite good as a 3-year-old, winning at Kempton in Lingfield. Not so good on turf this year. And he beat 3 lengths, to be honest, in a competitive race at Sandown behind Jacob Black, and beat 4 lengths at Ascot last time. So he's certainly not been disgraced, but perhaps might be better back on artificial surfaces. Obviously beat Speculative Bid when he won his maiden as a 3-year-old, and that form's worked out extremely well. Ollie Stevens, the yard form's a little bit of a concern. Lightning Spear was a little bit disappointing in Ireland yesterday, and obviously he is retiring at the end of the season, but Heisman could be a decent horse if he yards in top shape. One that's from a yard which isn't quite as fashionable is Reggie Bond for Jeff Oldroyd, but he's in really good form in Wolverhampton. Probably not quite so good in the turf as what he is in artificial surfaces. He's 4 from 12 in the weather, 1 from 11 on turf. But he won his last 2 races here at Wolverhampton pretty nicely, winning by 3.5 lengths last time here at Wolverhampton. He's gone up £7, but to be fair, the way he won that race, that wouldn't have stopped him. He's just not as unexposed as Heisman or Hacker, but it could be interesting each way, especially if we've got 8 runners still. It might be a nice each way price, but Hacker will be the selection.
Okay, Hacker, the pick in Wolves 440. And the final race we're going to look at is Wolverhampton's 540 over the extended 7 furlong trip. 12 runners down to go to post for this one, James, and some respected connections as well. We've got Roger Varian, Luca Kamani, and Marco Botti all saddling runners. What do you fancy in this one?
Yeah, this is a competitive enough but tricky race to assess. There's one that's interesting in Simon Crisford's runner Faintly, who was a well-backed favourite last time at Wolverhampton, but for whatever reason ran an absolute shocker. Never really figured here over 7 furlongs. He's dropped in grade down to this class 5 level. It was a class 4 and a class 3 is what he's running this year for Simon Crisford. He was originally trained by Amanda Perrott, and he could certainly expect improvement from the yard, and has booked Tom Marcon, who is a very, very useful £3 claimer. He's riding so many winners at the moment, riding really high in confidence, but he needs to show a little bit more. But just keep an eye on the market for Faintly. He could be well backed again, and I wouldn't put you off backing him each way at a price. Of those that have got a more obvious chance in the form book would be Ya Latif for a Roger Varian, and Jack Mitchell, who obviously won a Group 3 at Doncaster earlier in the week on Rialtra. He was off the mark at Salisbury on his return, beating Crystal Malt. Just struggled a little bit in the handicap subsequently. Fourth at Windsor when he was a 5-4 on favourite. And a little bit disappointing when only 4-4 at Leicester, but not beaten too far last time out. He's had a bit of time off the track, 60 days. So hopefully they freshened him up and got him right, because he could be better than this grade, and he's certainly an interesting one. Of those that are consistent, Soaring Spirits, he could go pretty well for the informed Deem Ivory team. He's just dropped a little bit in the handicap, down to a mark of 75. His last two wins on the weather at Lingfield came off 72 and 76. If he's as effective at Wolverhampton, he could well be interesting. And probably he'll end up being a selection at an each-way price would be Soaring Spirits for Deem Ivory and Robert Winston.
Okay, Soaring Spirits, the pick then in Wolves 540. Great stuff, James. Enjoy all the action on Monday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.